views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. Today, let's talk about another aspect of you that will influence everything you do every day of your life, your personality. The nature-related aspects of who you are, so those qualities that you're born with, stay relatively consistent throughout your life. These include things like your temperament or personality, and they predispose you to certain behaviors. So they influence who or what you gravitate towards and can even determine health risks. Temperament is genetic, and it has a large influence on your natural behavior. So when you learn to do something that goes against your natural tendency, for example, if you organize your desk, but you have a natural desire to live in clutter, and you're happiest when things are disorganized and messed up and all around you, then what you're going to find is that when you're stressed, you'll revert back to your true nature. Now, this doesn't mean that you can never change aspects of how you behave, but it does mean that there's certain behaviors that will resurface throughout your life. And once you know and understand this, you don't have to get mad at yourself. You could just go, oh, of course, this is who I am, and I am feeling stressed. And then you can take steps to deal with decreasing the amount of stress that you're feeling. So see, it's an important cue for you. Every personality type has positive traits and then some not so positive traits or things that we'd call challenging. Learning which traits apply to the individuals in your family can really help to guide your expectations and discipline strategies, and learning your own can help you be that vibrant, powerful person that you strive to be. So for example, knowing that your three-year-old, you know, is analytical and really likes organization will help you to understand why you shouldn't just swipe away his cards that are all lined up on the table just because supper's ready and you want a place to put it. If you do that, you would know that he is going to have a total temper tantrum and he's not even going to be able to sit down and eat supper until he's given a chance to fix the mess that you've made. So when you know that, you can give him a 10-minute warning and say, honey, I'm bringing the supper to the table. In 10 minutes, your cars need to be moved off there or I will put them in the basket. By doing that, you give him a chance to move things and you know that this is important to him. Another example would be, let's say you have a teenager and your teenager is not really very social. So taking away their cell phone then as a way to get them to comply and to listen to you probably isn't going to get you the bang for your buck that you're looking for. It's really not going to get their attention. On the other hand, if they're super social, and I mean, it's a social time of their life anyway, but if they are super social, taking their cell phone away for a week is going to be absolutely life-crushing to them. You probably only need to go for a day. So the point is, by understanding this about the others in your family, by knowing who you are and some of the other pieces we've already talked about, like your own family of origin and how that's influencing you, it can help you to really set yourself and the people in your household up for success. Where it stops being helpful is when you use this information to limit others. you know, like he can't help it because that's just his personality. He gets angry like that and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, that's not true. We can all learn to control our anger, even that strong driver type personality. So we don't want to use it as a way to excuse undesirable behaviors. And we also don't want to say, you know, there's no use putting him in dance because he doesn't even care about that at all. And he's never going to want to. I'm not saying you should put him in dance if he is this little analytical, for example, and doesn't care about people. But I don't want you to use this info to right away write it off, because there could be parts about that that is intriguing to him. And if he went and took a dance class that has steps and patterns, he might enjoy that. So keep your mind open. Don't use this information to close your mind. Just use it to help guide you when it comes to making decisions in your family. Temperament is also only one piece of the puzzle. So it's really important to remember that. Children will always benefit from being taught social and emotional skills, and as adults will always benefit by practicing those same skills ourselves. So knowing possible gaps due to the personality will help you to determine which areas to focus on first, but we want to remember that we do want to always be helping our kids to grow and ourselves to grow. So there's lots of personality tests that people use that put us into four main categories. People will often be a blend, and when there's four categories, they might be a blend of two of them. Sometimes they'll have a third one that's also really in there. So I typically find one or two categories are dominant, and I like to use a model called the DISC system, which William Moulton Marston is credited with originally creating under the title Emotions of Normal People in 1928. Now, I learned this DISC system through osmosis in a program that I participated in over 20 years ago. So my version is not likely to match up with the actual original, or even when people are talking about the DISC system out there today, but it's close enough that I certainly want to give credit where credit is due. So if you're really familiar with the DISC system, please forgive the fact that my ideas might be a little bit different than what you have been taught, and by all means, use the system you're most comfortable with. So I'm going to share a summary of the four different types, and I want you just to try to think about, first of all, yourself, of what traits really apply to you. You might find it easiest to pick out the traits of your partner and maybe even your kids, but kids change a little bit because of their maturity level. So focus first on yourself and your partner, if you have one, and then move on to your kids. So are we ready? Here's the four types. The first one is the dominant driver. Now this person is a very strong, independent leader type. If you think type A personality, if you've heard of those, that would be your driver in an extreme form. So he likes to be in charge and will often tell people what to do. He's results oriented and wants to see things done, even if it means the quality suffers. All right, so let's just get it done. I don't care if it's perfect, just get it done, okay? They're full of energy. He tends to be in a hurry. He holds very pointed conversations, so he might talk in bullet points as a result. And he's really unconcerned with offending others. In fact, he doesn't even really fully understand why anyone would get offended by that. Empathy, surprise, surprise, does not come naturally to him. A good argument actually strengthens him. So he loves to argue. He loves to discuss, to debate things. And while he might be really quick to get angry, he cools down just as fast. So he doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't think about it because it doesn't hurt his feelings if you disagree with him. He just really likes to fight and to argue the point just for the fun of that. So he's not likely to take things personally, and he rarely believes something is his fault. So that can be a little bit of a problem. You know, he rear-ended the other car because that guy wasn't driving properly. They'll blame other people. It's very easy for them to blame others because they really don't believe they're at fault. He likes to know what is going to happen and is more focused on goals than on people. All right. So he's a great leader, but without any kind of training, and if he is an extreme driver, then he's not going to be really great as a team member because he just doesn't really care about the people. He wants the goals to be reached. Get it done. Okay. A strong, determined driver child will need his own space and stuff to be happy. He does not like to share things. He likes to have his own things. He likes to have them just so. He will require really clear boundaries and will need to be allowed to make choices. Choices are very important to a driver child. Use short, pointed messages with the child that focus on what needs to be done versus whom or how others are affected. So this child may need to be taught how to think, for example, of others' feelings, right? Because empathy doesn't come naturally to him. So he's only going to engage in those teachings if you briefly explain what it's going to do for his future. So you might say, you know what, honey, you are a leader. And to run a company someday, you're going to need to be able to think of other people's feelings. That's why I want you to learn and practice on your sister. These kids like to lead and take command of situations easily and quickly. They can be called bossy because they are so quick to tell everybody what to do. They enjoy watching people disagree. They're the ones that will clap their hands in glee when two people are fighting because it's awesome to them. They love to see that. They need help learning social skills like patience, empathy, and tolerance. Discipline works best when it's enforced consistently, calmly, and quickly with the child. And especially if you can keep yourself from buying into an argument about it. Taking possessions from this child will get a very strong reaction. Lectures will not. So you're better off to speak their language and say, you know what, this toy is gone until tomorrow, and just take it. Remember, these kids love arguing and will look for any opportunity to get you riled up. The next one is the flamboyant expressive. Now, this person also has a very strong personality, but the focus is on people versus the task at hand. So she loves fun and despises being controlled by others. She's a social butterfly who flits from group to group, entertaining everyone in her flight path. She's imaginative, and while she likes to control others, she's really not very good at it because she tends to be quite disorganized. She often struggles with time management and is notoriously late, even for her own events. She talks a lot. She can overwhelm others with her force of character. People with this personality typically have good intentions, but they're not great at follow through, which makes them appear scattered and inconsistent. They like to know who is involved rather than what is going to happen. Kids who are flamboyant expressives have lots of friends, and social interactions will be the focus of their existence. They live in a world of disorganization, although they will often be able to find whatever it is they're looking for within that mess. So it's just a terrible mess to the rest of us, but to them, it's like, I know where everything is, so we're fine. They require reminders regarding time commitments, and they're going to be motivated by who will be involved. So for them, you might say something like, you know what? There's going to be lots of other kids at the daycare that you can play with versus, you know, you'll be doing crafts, you'll be reading. It's going to be lots of fun. You're better off to focus on the people. They enjoy planning social events as they get older, well, even at a young age, although they often need a helper to assist them with the organization part. They can struggle with commitment as they might sign up for things because of the people involved and then decide that they really don't like the activity. So they don't want to keep going. Those people aren't worth it. A flamboyant expressive child is closely connected to her friends and will rebel if you come on too strong when disciplining. So if you're a person who was raised with grounding and so that's one of your tools, If you ground her, remove her phone, take away the computer or maybe the internet, you're going to find that you have rebellion on your hands. So a little goes a long way when it comes to this type of discipline for these kids. Timeouts can be very effective for this child when they're younger, as long as the parent is able to stay calm and consistent. The next category is the easygoing amiable. These people are nice, they're friendly, they're relaxed. They're safety-oriented, and they do not like upsetting people. They like harmony, and they work hard to help others get along. I was the amiable in our family, and I was always saying to my oldest sister and my mother, "You guys, you don't need to fight." And they'd say, "We're not fighting, we're just discussing." And I'd think, "Well, you're yelling." I understand it a lot better now. These amiables are good listeners, and they often make good counselors. They like people, and they tend to have just a few close friends. They're accommodating and peace-seeking, sometimes over-empathizing or putting others' needs before their own. So these are the kids that will really struggle with a show like Bambi, because when Bambi loses his mother, they over-empathize, and it really bothers them, and they, you know, feel like they've lost their mother. They'll get very upset by it. They like routine. This is really important, and this is an area they struggle in because they're very uncomfortable with change to their schedules or environment. Once they've done something a few times, they're more comfortable with it, but until they've done it, they're very often anxious about what it's going to be, and they do not like change. So they are not a child who will come home and be excited because you've ripped a wall out in your house. They like to know how things are going to happen and when they're going to happen. Amiables like everyone, but they're especially attracted to the energy and pep of drivers and expressives. They often pair up in marriage with a driver because I think they're the only ones willing to put up with the driver's bossy, pointed attitude. But it's very common for a driver and an amiable to get together. So think about that, because confrontation leaves an amiable feeling drained, shaky, and concerned about what was said. They empathize, and it bothers them that they might have hurt the other person and struck out. So they try everything possible to avoid confrontation. As a result, the confrontation-loving driver will sometimes get bored with the lack of enthusiasm the amiable puts into a fight. Like, "Come on, fight with me already. Argue with me. Discuss this. Show your passion. Where is it?" The one thing you want to know about this, though, is an amiable who's backed into a corner, especially if she's defending her young, will respond very strongly. You know, she will come out swinging and shocking everyone who knows her best. Children with an amiable personality are easy to get along with. They're not disruptive, and they try hard to do what they're asked. The challenge with these kids is that they tend to be followers. So if they're not taught good decision-making skills while they're young and to really balance the consequences of things, then they can easily be led down the wrong path as a teenager. As I mentioned, they do not like when people argue. They can get very angry at a parent who publicly stands up for them. So the parent who calls the school to complain or talks to a teacher, they can get very upset. Like, why are you doing that? They thrive on routine as well as predictability, and they get anxious about changes in their environment. Teaching these kids why it's important to stand up for their beliefs and helping them with skills like assertiveness is extremely important. They can take all the world's problems onto their shoulders if you don't teach them how to protect themselves from that. These kids, as I mentioned, will benefit from being taught assertiveness, good decision making, flexibility because of the routine thing, and anxiety related coping skills. Most discipline tools work on these kids because they're so bothered by disappointing the people that they love. It's already punishment enough. So almost any tool can work. The final category is the careful analytical. This group is task-oriented, like the drivers. However, they're focused on having the task done correctly. In fact, they want it done perfectly. They're very organized and patient, since perfection is a slow process, and they will take all the time they need to do something right. They like order, and they think things through in a very logical, critical way. Facts are more important to them than people, and they often enjoy working on their own. If you think of Sheldon on Big Bang Theory, if you ever watch that, he is a very extreme analytical. They're not friendly or aggressive, and they usually have just one or two friends, if any. They focus on the big picture and comply with the rules simply because that's the logical thing to do. They do not show their feelings easily, and they can be judgmental of others. These people can easily become loners and sometimes forget to eat or sleep when they're involved in a project they feel passionate about. The drivers make them crazy because of their disregard for detail and their rush to finish the task. Analyticals are often attracted to expressives because sometimes they just wish there were more like them, and so they often wind up in a relationship with them. That's why you can get the beautiful, vivacious, outgoing person with the reserved, nerdy kind of held back, quieter person. Children in this category will like things set up in a precise fashion. They will organize their dresser, their bedroom, and desk to reflect order and logical correctness. Disorganization drives them crazy, and they actually might offer to clean something up as a fun afternoon activity. That's Monica on Friends. Parents are often concerned over their reclusive nature, and especially if their parent isn't expressive, they might try to force them to be more social and outgoing because they don't understand why they don't want to be around people. Many social skills do not come naturally to this group, except in a very logical way. So some teaching in this area is going to be important. These kids will need time to think when you ask them a question, and they should not be rushed into answering. They need to know why and how things are done. They'll benefit from belonging to clubs, but make sure it's a club that fits them, like Mad Science or 4-H or Scouts, where they're doing things that they have an interest in. Tact does not come naturally to them, and they often need help with empathy and compassion. Learning to get dirty and have fun can also be helpful for this child, but typically they hate it, and you do not want to force them to do that. For discipline, consequences work well with this group as long as there is a logical connection to the misbehavior. So if you take a toy away because they threw it at their sibling, they're going to understand the logical connection. But if you took a movie away because they threw a toy at their sibling, they won't understand it and they're going to rebel without learning anything useful. So because this personality type enjoys time alone, I should mention that grounding and timeouts are rarely effective, and so what happens is the parent often gets more frustrated and upset than the child does. Being aware of your dominant personality traits and how they complement or contrast with your child's and your partner's can be very useful. Two drivers will argue often, and they'll love every minute of it. If you know this, if you recognize it and ensure that the fights don't get personal, you can sit back and enjoy the competition. On the other hand, if you're a driver and you have an amiable child or partner, these battles are going to be stressful. They might be scary, especially if it's your child. And so you really want to be careful how often you're doing it. If your child is analytical, and you want to play as a driver, you might get him to debate with you because there's logical skills that go with that, and he can relate to those logical skills. If you're an expressive parent and your child is an analytical, you may wonder what planet they came from. And here's where you're just going to have to practice unconditional love. Know that they're here to teach you something, right? In line with this, parents with an expressive or driver child will create extra struggle if they use controlling language with that child. If they have two kids, one who's a driver, then sibling rivalry can easily become a big problem in their house. You need to set really clear boundaries and enforce them regularly. I actually did a podcast on sibling rivalry that can help you if this is the case, so that you can take advantage of this annoying practice and use it to your advantage. On a personal level, once a person is aware of their own dominant tendencies, it becomes easier to learn how to moderate certain behaviors. So a driver can learn to empathize, to take other people's feelings into account, and to practice patience. An expressive can learn to be more organized, or maybe to arrive on time. Amiables can practice being assertive and accept that some disagreement is healthy and inevitable, and they can even figure out how to enjoy some of that confrontation. Analyticals can learn to be more spontaneous, very hard for them, and to strive for good quality instead of perfection. So now it's your turn. If you haven't already, take a moment and think about which of these categories describes you best. You might have to go back and re-listen to some of them. You might find that you're a blend. Most people are. But even then, there's typically an area that is more dominant in your life. So if you're unsure, try to focus in on how you are in crisis, how you deal with difficult situations, or when you're really stressed. That will give you more clues than anything. Once you have an idea of who you are ready to focus on others, like your partner, your child, or so on. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.